Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You've probably heard lawyer jokes before. The legal profession can sometimes be portrayed as amoral, cutthroat, and predatory. Courtrooms, especially in this era of high-profile trials, can be nasty battlegrounds. But there are people dedicated to injecting civility into the process, and you have a stake in whether or not they succeed. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Who cares whether lawyers are civil in the courtroom and out of it or even on the bench? Well, my guest this week certainly does, and she would argue that you should too. Erica Harold is the lawyer who is also the executive director of the Illinois Supreme Court's Commission on Professionalism. If Ms. Harold's name is familiar to you, she's also been a political candidate a few times. In 2018, she was the Republican nominee for Illinois Attorney General. She's also run for Congress, and yes, if you go back to 2003, she is a former Miss America, but she made a name for herself as a champion for better behavior in the legal profession. Now, as head of the Supreme Court's Commission on Professionalism, it's her job. And it's not as staid and stuffy as it sounds.
Very true. When people think about professionalism, sometimes people think about politeness, decorum, words that don't necessarily seem as relevant and potent in today's society. But I view professionalism as encompassing concepts like civility, respect, dignity, humanity. And in order for those principles to have any real meaning in today's society, they really have to be about those fundamental principles, not the facade of politeness, not just appearing to treat someone with dignity, but actually understanding why it's important to treat them with dignity and then doing so in good faith.
How difficult is that to do in a profession where the image, where the presentation is sometimes considered the battle?
It's a challenge in that when people think about the legal profession, there are lots of television shows that sort of shape the public's perceptions and even the lawyers' perceptions. You think of things like Suits, you think of LA Law, you think of Law and Order, you think of shows where you see people at their adversarial best. And people who are in law school, they're thinking, if I want to be a good lawyer, I need to be highly contentious. And the public oftentimes expects that. When I was in private practice, I would often have clients come to me and say, I want a bulldog. I want somebody who's going to be tough. And what I had to try to tell them is that being a bulldog and being tough may actually mean that you're less effective. And so you want to try to explain to people not just why those principles of civility and respect are the right principles, but they're also the principles that are most likely to help you to be able to be to deliver advantageous results to your client.
And in some ways, you might think that these are things that can't be taught. It's like sort of like being taught manners. Isn't it supposed to happen at home? But in fact, you do teach them.
Yes. In fact, and it's a skill set. At the Commission on Professionalism, we start with law students. Every year, we do professionalism orientations in collaboration with Illinois' 9 law schools. The Illinois Supreme Court, the justices will go and speak to the student, the incoming 1L classes, about the importance of professionalism and civility and how it connects to the rule of law and how it connects to the public's confidence in the justice system. And they then lead them in a pledge of professionalism. And we, as a commission, are there to talk about how these components are important in terms of grounding their professional identity. And it's really important that you start early, because The students, they may not have passed the bar yet, but we tell them you are now entering a profession where how you conduct yourself does impact how people view fairness, due process, equal protection in our justice system.
Does the training start in law school? And if it doesn't, should it?
The training in Illinois starts in law school because every law incoming 1L class, they do go through this professionalism orientation. And the American Bar Association has a new professional identity requirement that really is trying to encourage students to think intentionally about how do you view yourself as a professional? Set aside what you see on TV and in movies. What does it mean to you to be a professional? Because being a lawyer isn't just a job. It's a profession. It's a calling. It's a vocation. And how you conduct yourself impacts not just yourself and your client, but the justice system as a whole. And then the commission works to develop programming for lawyers and judges because professionalism has to be about every segment of the justice system working together. Ultimately, you want someone who's a litigant in the system, regardless of whether the outcome goes for them or against them, to feel that they were treated fairly, to feel that they were treated with dignity, and to feel that even if they disagreed with the result, it was arrived in a way that was fair and that respected them during the process.
And while I would think people who get to the bench and attain judgeships, there would be a certain image and of dignity that goes with that. How much is it needed even at that level?
It's needed at every level because although these concepts seem basic and fundamental, when you're actually putting them into the practice in the midst of a very contentious case, whereas a judge, you have perhaps litigants and lawyers that may not be behaving at their best, it's really important for them to learn the skill set for how to navigate this. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was co-presenting to new judges very specific ways that they should navigate incivility, bullying, and sexual harassment that may occur within their courtroom. Because if a lawyer is behaving badly, we want judges to realize there's a role for them to play to make sure that they're curbing bad behavior, not just because it's bad behavior, but that kind of bad behavior can actually impede how the administration of justice is being effectuated. You don't want circumstances where people feel that the case is becoming dragged out, protracted, costing more because of the lawyer's bad behavior. All of those things actually impede the justice system itself.
Do you see those kinds of things coming up? I mean, obviously the commission was created, and maybe you can tell me how long the commission's been around, but at some point, somebody said, boy, we need to do something about this. What is the problem that right? It was created to solve?
The commission was created by the Illinois Supreme Court almost 20 years ago.
And that's not that long.
Correct. And so the court deserves a great deal of credit because they were recognizing that incivility was a problem within the profession itself and within the justice system. And they created a committee to kind of assess what are the issues that are causing some of these problems and what would be the right way of addressing it. And so that led to the creation of the Commission on Professionalism. And our mandate is not just civility, but civility, inclusion, well-being, ethics, and integrity. So looking at professionalism in a holistic way. And then the commission was charged with implementing a variety of programs to address judges, lawyers, law students, and to find ways of making the education process around these principles ongoing and also aspirational. So we're not a disciplinary commission. There are entities that handle discipline. We are an aspirational and educational entity that is trying to inspire people to be at their best.
That being the case, do you get much pushback from the people that you're talking to? People are required to go to some classes and the like. Do you get resistance to that?
We don't really get resistance around the concept of civility because so many lawyers recognize that incivility makes the practice of law less satisfying. It makes it more difficult to reach results. And in 2021, the commission did a civility survey where they were asking Illinois lawyers to talk about the prevalence of incivility in their practice. And more than half said they'd experienced incivility in just the past 6 months. And the practice of law is an already stressful profession. And so then if you have to add the overlay of other lawyers' bad behavior, that makes it, it discourages diversity in the profession because certain groups of lawyers are targeted with incivility more often than other lawyers. And so our job at the commission is really to show lawyers how if we can, as a group, really aspire to civility, then it helps us to do the thing that made us go to law school and want to be lawyers in the first place, to serve clients, to try to effectuate justice.
We are sometimes in an atmosphere, and this isn't so much political as it is personal, where people look at, you know, we used to say, you know, polite, and people would say then politically correct, as if there's something wrong with being polite. In an atmosphere like this today, how do you get people to operate differently, especially if the person you may be going up against in court, and even saying going up against, it's like it's right. A battle. I mean, even the language that we use,
it's contentious, conflict-laden language.
Exactly. How do you get people to pull the claws in if the other person isn't?
I thought about that a lot because before I was appointed to this position, I was trying to think, especially for younger lawyers and law students, concepts of civility may seem like passivity or weakness. And people want to feel that they are fighting for something. They are advocating for something. And one of the things we try to stress is that it actually takes more skill and more strength to approach conflict in a civil way. It's easy to lash out at other people. It's easy to escalate if someone treats you in a way that's inappropriate. But it takes a certain amount of strength to decide that you're not going to escalate, that you're not going to respond. But then we try to teach lawyers what are the things that you can do in response that doesn't just involve standing there and letting your client be treated poorly. So we try to give them very procedural tools of how do you file a motion to bring this before the judge? How do you respond? I remember in private practice, I had a lawyer who would routinely swear at me during settlement conferences, just use misogynistic language. And I said to him, I will not continue having these phone calls with you because you, I'm not going to allow you to speak to me in that way. We're not getting anything done that's constructive for our clients. They're being billed for this kind of bad behavior. We need to communicate in writing. Because we're not telling people to accept bad behavior. We're saying try to respond in ways that don't allow that bad behavior to escalate and to ultimately undermine your client's interests.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here. If I'm a client and I'm not happy with the way the case is going, I might feel I want my lawyer to be up there screaming and yelling and, you know, Is there education for the public that is necessary here too?
You raise such a good point because so often clients encourage their lawyers to engage in bad behavior and they want to see their attorney, quote, fighting for them. And in their mind, fighting for them looks like yelling, screaming, refusing to be reasonable in scheduling. And one of the things we tell lawyers is you need to educate your clients at the very outset of what the consequences of doing that is going to be. If you behave that way, the judge is going to have a certain perception of you as an attorney, as a client, and the case. And when you get to the more substantive parts of your case, the judge is going to take into consideration this person's behaving in an unreasonable way. If there's a close call in the law, you're not going to get that tiebreaker. I have had clients where it was really important to them to feel heard. And so what I would tell them is, okay, if we're going into a mediation or settlement conference, I'm going to let you speak for the first 5 minutes and say the things that you need to say. But then you need to trust me to be able to advocate for you in ways that are going to advance your interest. And I promise you, me losing my temper, me name calling, is only going to increase your bill and make it less likely that we can settle. And we have data to back this up. And so we tell lawyers how important it is that they educate their clients up front, that if you want a bulldog and you want somebody who's going to be overly aggressive just for the sake of being aggressive, what you're looking at is a longer case and increased legal fees. And after people see the first bill, they usually realize, wow, the only people who are benefiting from this contention are my attorney and the other attorney, because it's increased everyone's fees.
Indeed. You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and my guest this weekend is Erica Harrell. She is the executive director of the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism, an agency that it refers to itself as to civility. Please explain. I mean, besides the fact that you just don't want to say Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism all that often, how did to civility come about?
To civility came about as a movement, as being, we are trying to inspire lawyers and judges to civility. And it focuses on communication and engagement and the aspirational quality of what we do. Saying Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism is a long title, but I will say it often because one of the things that I think makes this commission really unique is that it was created by the Supreme Court, and that gives it a certain gravitas among other judges and lawyers, that we're an entity, that we're an instrumentality of the Supreme Court, and that the Supreme Court thinks these principles are important. So I did, when I was first appointed to be executive director, I did have to practice saying it. And my parents said, what is it that you do? Where is it that you work? So then I said, okay, just say Commission on Professionalism. As a shorthand.
Not bad. But now, let me ask, though, how did you come to be that? I mean, I know I knew you before you were heading up the commission. What led you to that as an area of interest and an area of work?
I was fortunate to be a commissioner on the Commission on Professionalism. I was appointed in 2017. So at the time, I was still in private practice as an attorney. And the court appoints commissioners from around the state to be sort of the board of the organization. And I was a commissioner and sort of a member of the board. And I was able to see firsthand the impact of the commission's programs and to see the great potential for making an impact on issues of inclusion, well-being, civility, legal ethics, things that I think are so needed right now. And so when our prior executive director, Jane Reardon, announced her retirement in 2022, I would have been on the search committee, and I looked at the job description and where I was in my life and career. I thought, these are values that I think are really critical in our profession, but also in our state and society right now. And the opportunity to engage in aspirational principles from a nonpartisan perspective really appealed to me. And so I decided to apply for the position.
As someone who I know has valued inclusion and ethics in the law and everywhere else, is it sometimes frustrating to see how much of a need it is in the profession even now?
It doesn't frustrate me because when I see all of the things that are happening right now, I think 2024 feels probably to most people who are listening like a particularly uncivil year. So a time where I don't have to make a case for why these principles are so important. The case is being made. And so now people are looking for solutions. And people are looking for solutions that seem transcendent. And what I have found is that because there's so much tension and polarization, people are looking for ways to be able to reconnect with each other and reconnect with people across division. I think we recognize in a pluralistic society, if we don't have certain baseline principles and commitments to things like inclusion and ethics, integrity, and civility, we don't have a way to continue strengthening a democracy. And so to me, because I'm an optimist, to me, it feels like a particularly good time to be doing this work.
But as you point out, this is a time when it seems that things are pulling apart more. And while they may not be in the majority, there are people who almost pride themselves on being uncivil. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not putting party labels on it, because there are people doing doing this on both sides, but there are people who seem to put a value on incivility, on calling out. I think that's the calling out
right.
People is the idea. And doesn't it seem as if in some ways, if it's not a war, it's certainly tension and an existing battle between people who say, no, we are going to get those people. We are going to put those people down.
Right now, I think in many aspects of society, some incivility is incentivized because you can get attention, you can build careers on division and incivility. And so at the commission, we do research to show how you can actually quantify the ways in which the justice system suffers from incivility, different aspects of society suffer from incivility. If you look even at things as simple as road rage, I saw a study on CNN where the reports of road rage has gone up dramatically. And so trying to connect for people that there are these core principles of incivility, disrespect, those things are the connecting tissues or threads through a lot of the behaviors that we're seeing. And so if we can't try to focus on those first principles, we're going to continue to see this division. And there will be some people who would respond to incivility by saying, well, I'm going to be even more uncivil because your behavior to me proves you are unworthy of being treated with respect. And to me, that's a race to the bottom. And there's no prize there for any of us because it's just a perpetuation of this cycle of division. What I would say is that you have to point to a more excellent way and show how it's not only the right thing to do, but it creates more of what we all want in society.
How do you get people who feel otherwise to see inclusion? And I'll pick that one out because,
sure.
You know, at least for some of us, it's a central issue. But how do you get people to see that as a value when there are actively people who say it should, not only shouldn't it be a value, it should almost be outlawed?
One of the things that is great about the rules of professional conduct is in the preamble, it talks about some of these core values of inclusion as being central to what it means to be a lawyer in Illinois. And that's the baseline for the conversation. And so I don't debate with people, is inclusion important in the legal profession? It is important in the legal profession, and this is why, and this is how we have to live it out. And we talk about how important it is that we have a profession that reflects the populations that we serve. We connect it to issues like due process and equal protection, and talk about how if you want to build a law firm that is going to be sustainable, that will actually make a lot of money representing everyone in the community, inclusion has to be part of everything you do, whether it's advertising, accessibility issues for how you structure, how people can actually connect with you at your office, language. And we try to say inclusion is a spectrum. Inclusion is the right thing. Inclusion is supported by our Constitution, But inclusion is also marketable and it's profitable. And so if you want to be somebody who becomes quickly irrelevant in the legal profession, especially as we're embracing all of these new changes, then you're going to be on the sidelines if you don't adopt and embrace inclusion.
Let me ask you about the at least something that your commission is doing. I know you can't tell me any results, but I understand you all are conducting a study.
Yes. It's one of the projects I'm most excited about. We are focusing on bullying in the legal profession, and we announced the initiative last year. We believe it's one of the first of its kind to be done in the nation that focuses on bullying in the legal profession, the prevalence of it, and what can be done. Last year, we did a survey of active Illinois lawyers to assess the kind of bullying they may experience or observe, and what kind of recommendations they think would be useful to prevent it. We had over 6,000 lawyers respond to the survey. And then for the first 3 months of this year, we did focus groups comprised of lawyers from all different parts of the state. And fairly soon, we will be releasing a report that shows the prevalence of bullying. And we focused just on 1 year because we wanted to see the snapshot of what's happening now. We didn't want it to be a historical study. We wanted it just to be focused on in the past year so we could see where our areas where bullying is occurring and what kind of solutions would be useful.
I'm not asking for any specific results, but is it still a problem?
It is absolutely still a problem. And I went into this research anecdotally and experientially knowing that it was a problem just from my own experiences, from experiences of colleagues. And there was an international study that was done that showed that bullying is a problem. One of the reasons why we focus on bullying as opposed to using the words like harassment, a couple of things. First of all, bullying is actually not illegal. Harassment, Title VII, which focuses on protected characteristics, that is illegal in the workplace. But if you're being bullied for some reason other than being able to prove that it's based on protected characteristics, you don't really have much recourse. And some people view bullying as being an acceptable part of the profession, which ties into what we were talking about, that some people view overly aggressive or uncivil behavior as simply being what you sign up for by being an attorney. And I want to challenge that because I don't think that bullying should be a rite of passage in our profession. And I think when people see the study, they will see where we have to work, and they will also see some recommendations for how to improve it. It's something I was really excited about doing because I had been bullied when I was in high school and had to leave my high school because of it. And one of the kind of aha light bulb moments for me was when I was a law student and saw that a lot of the behaviors that would be characterized as bullying in schools were so much an accepted part and sometimes a celebrated and normalized part of the profession. And that really bothered me. And so I thought, if I ever am in a position to be able to do something about this, I will make it a commitment to do it. So I'm going to be very, very excited when we release the report.
I'd like to thank Erica Harrell, director of the State Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism, for spending this time with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've probably heard lawyer jokes before. The legal profession can sometimes be portrayed as amoral, cutthroat, and predatory. Courtrooms, especially in this era of high-profile trials, can be nasty battlegrounds. But there are people dedicated to injecting civility into the process, and you have a stake in whether or not they succeed. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Who cares whether lawyers are civil in the courtroom and out of it or even on the bench? Well, my guest this week certainly does, and she would argue that you should too. Erica Harold is the lawyer who is also the executive director of the Illinois Supreme Court's Commission on Professionalism. If Ms. Harold's name is familiar to you, she's also been a political candidate a few times. In 2018, she was the Republican nominee for Illinois Attorney General. She's also run for Congress, and yes, if you go back to 2003, she is a former Miss America, but she made a name for herself as a champion for better behavior in the legal profession. Now, as head of the Supreme Court's Commission on Professionalism, it's her job. And it's not as staid and stuffy as it sounds.
Very true. When people think about professionalism, sometimes people think about politeness, decorum, words that don't necessarily seem as relevant and potent in today's society. But I view professionalism as encompassing concepts like civility, respect, dignity, humanity. And in order for those principles to have any real meaning in today's society, they really have to be about those fundamental principles, not the facade of politeness, not just appearing to treat someone with dignity, but actually understanding why it's important to treat them with dignity and then doing so in good faith.
How difficult is that to do in a profession where the image, where the presentation is sometimes considered the battle?
It's a challenge in that when people think about the legal profession, there are lots of television shows that sort of shape the public's perceptions and even the lawyers' perceptions. You think of things like Suits. You think of LA Law. You think of Law and Order. You think of shows where you see people at their adversarial best. And people who are in law school, they're thinking, if I want to be a good lawyer, I need to be highly contentious. And the public oftentimes expects that. When I was in private practice, I would often have clients come to me and say, I want a bulldog. I want somebody who's going to be tough. And what I had to try to tell them is that being a bulldog and being tough may actually mean that you're less effective. And so you want to try to explain to people not just why those principles of civility and respect are the right principles, but they're also the principles that are most likely to help you to be able to be to deliver advantageous results to your client.
And in some ways, you might think that these are things that can't be taught. It's like sort of like being taught manners. Isn't it supposed to happen at home? But in fact, you do teach them.
Yes. In fact, and it's a skill set. At the Commission on Professionalism, we start with law students. Every year, we do professionalism orientations in collaboration with Illinois' 9 law schools. The Illinois Supreme Court, the justices will go and speak to the incoming 1L classes about the importance of professionalism and civility and how it connects to the rule of law and how it connects to the public's confidence in the justice system. And they then lead them in a pledge of professionalism. And we as a commission are there to talk about how these components are important in terms of grounding their professional identity. And it's really important that you start early because the students, they may not have passed the bar yet, but we tell them you are now entering a profession where how you conduct yourself does impact how people view fairness, due process, equal protection in our justice system.
Does the training start in law school? And if it doesn't, should it?
The training in Illinois starts in law school because every law incoming 1L class, they do go through this professionalism orientation. And the American Bar Association has a new professional identity requirement that really is trying to encourage students to think intentionally about how do you view yourself as a professional? Set aside what you see on TV and in movies. What does it mean to you to be a professional? Because being a lawyer isn't just a job. It's a profession. It's a calling. It's a vocation. And how you conduct yourself impacts not just yourself and your client, but the justice system as a whole. And then the commission works to develop programming for lawyers and judges, because professionalism has to be about every segment of the justice system working together. Ultimately, you want someone who's a litigant in the system, regardless of whether the outcome goes for them or against them, to feel that they were treated fairly, to feel that they were treated with dignity, and to feel that even if they disagreed with the result, it was arrived in a way that was fair and that respected them during the process.
And while I would think people who get to the bench and attain judgeships, there would be a certain image and of dignity that goes with that. How much is it needed even at that level?
It's needed at every level, because although these concepts seem basic and fundamental, when you're actually putting them into the practice in the midst of a very contentious case, whereas a judge, you have perhaps litigants and lawyers that may not be behaving at their best, it's really important for them to learn the skill set for how to navigate this. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was co-presenting to new judges very specific ways that they should navigate incivility, bullying, and sexual harassment that may occur within their courtroom. Because if a lawyer is behaving badly, we want judges to realize there's a role for them to play to make sure that they're curbing bad behavior, not just because it's bad behavior, but that kind of bad behavior can actually impede how the administration of justice is being effectuated. You don't want circumstances where people feel that the case is becoming dragged out, protracted, costing more because of the lawyer's bad behavior. All of those things actually impede the justice system itself.
Do you see those kinds of things coming up? I mean, obviously the commission was created, and maybe you can tell me how long the commission's been around, but at some point, somebody said, boy, we need to do something about this. What is the problem that right? It was created to solve?
The commission was created by the Illinois Supreme Court almost 20 years ago.
And that's not that long.
Correct. And so the court deserves a great deal of credit, because they were recognizing that incivility was a problem within the profession itself and within the justice system. And they created a committee to kind of assess what are the issues that are causing some of these problems and what would be the right way of addressing it. And so that led to the creation of the Commission on Professionalism. And our mandate is not just civility, but civility, inclusion, well-being, ethics, and integrity. So looking at professionalism in a holistic way. And then the commission was charged with implementing a variety of programs to address judges, lawyers, law students, and to find ways of making the education process around these principles ongoing and also aspirational. So we're not a disciplinary commission. There are entities that handle discipline. We are an aspirational and educational entity that is trying to inspire people to be at their best.
That being the case, do you get much pushback from the people that you're talking to? People are required to go to some classes and the like. Do you get resistance to that?
We don't really get resistance around the concept of civility, because so many lawyers recognize that incivility makes the practice of law less satisfying. It makes it more difficult to reach results. And in 2021, the commission did a civility survey where they were asking Illinois lawyers to talk about the prevalence of incivility in their practice. And more than half said they'd experienced incivility in just the past 6 months. And the practice of law is an already stressful profession. And so then if you have to add the overlay of other lawyers' bad behavior, that makes it, it discourages diversity in the profession because certain groups of lawyers are targeted with incivility more often than other lawyers. And so our job at the commission is really to show lawyers how if we can, as a group, really aspire to civility, then it helps us to do the thing that made us go to law school and want to be lawyers in the first place, to serve clients, to try to effectuate justice.
We are sometimes in an atmosphere, and this isn't so much political as it is personal, where people look at, you know, we used to say, you know, polite, and people would say then politically correct, as if there's something wrong with being polite. In an atmosphere like this today, how do you get people to operate differently, especially if the person you may be going up against in court, and even saying going up against, it's like it's right. A battle. I mean, even the language that we use,
it's contentious, conflict-laden language.
Exactly. How do you get people to pull the claws in if the other person isn't?
What I thought about that a lot, because before I was appointed to this position, I was trying to think, especially for younger lawyers and law students, concepts of civility may seem like passivity or weakness. And people want to feel that they are fighting for something, they are advocating for something. And one of the things we try to stress is that it actually takes more skill and more strength to approach conflict in a civil way. It's easy to lash out at other people. It's easy to escalate if someone treats you in a way that's inappropriate. But it takes a certain amount of strength to decide that you're not going to escalate, that you're not going to respond. But then we try to teach lawyers, what are the things that you can do in response that doesn't just involve standing there and letting your client be treated poorly? So we try to give them very procedural tools of how do you file a motion to bring this before the judge? How do you respond? I remember in private practice, I had a lawyer who would routinely swear at me during settlement conferences, just use misogynistic language. And I said to him, I will not continue having these phone calls with you because you, I'm not going to allow you to speak to me in that way. We're not getting anything done that's constructive for our clients. They're being billed for this kind of bad behavior. We need to communicate in writing because we're not telling people to accept bad behavior. We're saying, try to respond in ways that don't allow that bad behavior to escalate and to ultimately undermine your client's interests.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here. If I'm a client and I'm not happy with the way the case is going, I might feel I want my lawyer to be up there screaming and yelling. And, you know, is there client education? Is there education for the public that is necessary here too?
You raise such a good point because so often clients encourage their lawyers to engage in bad behavior, and they want to see their attorney, quote, fighting for them. And in their mind, fighting for them looks like yelling, screaming, refusing to be reasonable in scheduling. And one of the things we tell lawyers is you need to educate your clients at the very outset of what the consequences of doing that is going to be. If you behave that way, the judge is going to have a certain perception of you as an attorney, as a client, and the case. And when you get to the more substantive parts of your case, the judge is going to take into consideration this person's behaving in an unreasonable way. If there's a close call in the law, you're not going to get that tiebreaker. I have had clients where it was really important to them to feel heard. And so what I would tell them is, okay, if we're going into a mediation or settlement conference, I'm going to let you speak for the first 5 minutes and say the things that you need to say. But then you need to trust me to be able to advocate for you in ways that are going to advance your interest. And I promise you, me losing my temper, me name calling, is only going to increase your bill and make it less likely that we can settle. And we have data to back this up. And so we tell lawyers how important it is that they educate their clients up front, that if you want a bulldog and you want somebody who's going to be overly aggressive, just for the sake of being aggressive, what you're looking at is a longer case and increased legal fees. And after people see the first bill, they usually realize, wow, the only people who are benefiting from this contention are my attorney and the other attorney, because it's increased everyone's fees.
Indeed. You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and my guest this weekend is Erica Harold. She is the executive director of the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism, an agency that it refers to itself as to civility. Please explain. I mean, besides the fact that you just don't want to say Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism all that often, how did to civility come about?
To civility came about as a movement, as being, we are trying to inspire lawyers and judges to civility. And it focuses on communication and engagement and the aspirational quality of what we do. Saying Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism is a long title, but I will say it often because one of the things that I think makes this commission really unique is that it was created by the Supreme Court, and that gives it a certain gravitas among other judges and lawyers, that we're an entity, that we're an instrumentality of the Supreme Court, and that the Supreme Court thinks these principles are important. So I did, when I was first appointed to be executive director, I did have to practice saying it. And my parents said, what is it that you do? Where is it that you work? So then I said, okay, just say Commission on Professionalism. As a shorthand.
Not bad. But now, let me ask, though, how did you come to be that? I mean, I know I knew you before you were heading up the commission. What led you to that as an area of interest and an area of work?
I was fortunate to be a commissioner on the Commission on Professionalism. I was appointed in 2017. So at the time, I was still in private practice as an attorney. And the court appoints commissioners from around the state to be sort of the board of the organization. And I was a commissioner and sort of a member of the board. And I was able to see firsthand the impact of the commission's programs and to see the great potential for making an impact on issues of inclusion, well-being, civility, legal ethics, things that I think are so needed right now. And so when our prior executive director, Jane Reardon, announced her retirement in 2022, I would have been on the search committee, and I looked at the job description and where I was in my life and career. I thought, these are values that I think are really critical in our profession, but also in our state and society right now. And the opportunity to engage in aspirational principles from a nonpartisan perspective really appealed to me. And so I decided to apply for the position.
As someone who I know has valued inclusion and ethics in the law and everywhere else, is it sometimes frustrating to see how much of a need it is in the profession even now?
It doesn't frustrate me because when I see all of the things that are happening right now, I think 2024 feels probably to most people who are listening like a particularly uncivil year. So it's a time where I don't have to make a case for why these principles are so important. The case is being made. And so now people are looking for solutions. And people are looking for solutions that seem transcendent. And what I have found is that because there's so much tension and polarization, people are looking for ways to be able to reconnect with each other and reconnect with people across division. I think we recognize in a pluralistic society, if we don't have certain baseline principles and commitments to things like inclusion and ethics, integrity, and civility, we don't have a way to continue strengthening a democracy. And so, to me, because I'm an optimist, to me, it feels like a particularly good time to be doing this work.
But as you point out, this is a time when it seems that things are pulling apart more. And while they may not be in the majority, there are people who almost pride themselves on being uncivil. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not putting party labels on it, because there are people doing doing this on both sides, but there are people who seem to put a value on incivility, on calling out. I think that's the calling out,
right?
People is the idea. And doesn't it seem as if, in some ways, if it's not a war, it's certainly tension and an existing battle between people who say, no, we are going to get those people. We are going to put those people down.
Right now, I think in many aspects of society, some incivility is incentivized because you can get attention, you can build careers on division and incivility. And so, at the commission, we do research to show how you can actually quantify the ways in which, like, the justice system suffers from incivility, different aspects of society suffer from incivility. If you look even at things as simple as road rage, I saw a study on CNN where the reports of road rage has gone up dramatically. And so trying to connect for people that there are these core principles of incivility, disrespect, those things are the connecting tissues or threads through a lot of the behaviors that we're seeing. And so if we can't try to focus on those first principles, we're going to continue to see this division. And there will be some people who would respond to incivility by saying, well, I'm going to be even more uncivil because your behavior to me proves you are unworthy of being treated with respect. And to me, that's a race to the bottom. And there's no prize there for any of us because it's just a perpetuation of this cycle of division. What I would say is that you have to point to a more excellent way and show how it's not only the right thing to do, but it creates more of what we all want in society.
How do you get people who feel otherwise to see inclusion? And I'll pick that one out because,
sure,
you know, at least for some of us, it's a central issue. But how do you get people to see that as a value when there are actively people who say it should, not only shouldn't it be a value, it should almost be outlawed?
One of the things that is great about the rules of professional conduct is in the preamble, it talks about some of these core values of inclusion as being central to what it means to be a lawyer in Illinois. And that's the baseline for the conversation. And so I don't debate with people, is inclusion important in the legal profession? It is important in the legal profession, and this is why, and this is how we have to live it out. And we talk about how important it is that we have a profession that reflects the populations that we serve. We connect it to issues like due process and equal protection, and talk about how if you want to build a law firm that is going to be sustainable, that will actually make a lot of money representing everyone in the community, inclusion has to be part of everything you do, whether it's advertising, accessibility issues for how you structure, how people can actually connect with you at your office, language. And we try to say, inclusion is a spectrum. Inclusion is the right thing. Inclusion is supported by our Constitution, but inclusion is also marketable and it's profitable. And so if you want to be somebody who becomes quickly irrelevant in the legal profession, especially as we're embracing all of these new changes, then you're going to be on the sidelines if you don't adopt and embrace inclusion.
Let me ask you about the at least something that your commission is doing. I know you can't tell me any results, but I understand you all are conducting a study.
Yes. It's one of the projects I'm most excited about. We are focusing on bullying in the legal profession, and we announced the initiative last year. We believe it's one of the first of its kind to be done in the nation that focuses on bullying in the legal profession, the prevalence of it, and what can be done. Last year, we did a survey of active Illinois lawyers to assess the kind of bullying they may experience or observe, and what kind of recommendations they think would be useful to prevent it. We had over 6,000 lawyers respond to the survey. And then for the first 3 months of this year, we did focus groups comprised of lawyers from all different parts of the state. And fairly soon, we will be releasing a report that shows the prevalence of bullying. And we focused just on 1 year because we wanted to see the snapshot of what's happening now. We didn't want it to be a historical study. We wanted it just to be focused on in the past year so we could see where our areas where bullying is occurring and what kind of solutions would be useful.
I'm not asking for any specific results, but is it still a problem?
It is absolutely still a problem. And I went into this research anecdotally and experientially knowing that it was a problem just from my own experiences, from experiences of colleagues. And there was an international study that was done that showed that bullying is a problem. One of the reasons why we focus on bullying as opposed to using the words like harassment, a couple of things. First of all, bullying is actually not illegal. Harassment, Title VII, which focuses on protected characteristics, that is illegal in the workplace. But if you're being bullied for some reason other than being able to prove that it's based on protected characteristics, you don't really have much recourse. And some people view bullying as being an acceptable part of the profession, which ties into what we were talking about, that some people view overly aggressive or uncivil behavior as simply being what you sign up for by being an attorney. And I want to challenge that because I don't think that bullying should be a rite of passage in our profession. And I think when people see the study, they will see where we have to work, and they will also see some recommendations for how to improve it. It's something I was really excited about doing because I had been bullied when I was in high school and had to leave my high school because of it. And one of the kind of aha light bulb moments for me was when I was a law student and saw that a lot of the behaviors that would be characterized as bullying in schools were so much an accepted part and sometimes a celebrated and normalized part of the profession. And that really bothered me. And so I thought, if I ever am in a position to be able to do something about this, I will make it a commitment to do it. So I'm going to be very, very excited when we release the report.
I'd like to thank Erica Harrell, director of the State Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism, for spending this time with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.